This is VOA News. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. Israeli airstrikes pounded Gaza City overnight into Thursday as ground forces battled Hamas militants in dense urban neighborhoods from which tens of thousands of residents have fled in recent days. The director of Gaza's Shifa Hospital said Israeli troops were around 3 kilometers from the facility in the heart of downtown Gaza City. Israel has been vague on troop movements, but officials say Gaza's largest city is the focus of their campaign to crush Hamas following its deadly October 7th assault inside Israel. Meanwhile, international mediators have been working on a possible deal that would see a temporary humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza. Associated Press correspondent Karen Chamas reports.
The deal, according to two Egyptian officials, would see a possible 3-day ceasefire in exchange for the release of around a dozen Israeli hostages. The deal, which is being brokered by Egypt, Qatar and the US, would also allow a small amount of fuel to enter the territory for the first time since Israel's siege on Gaza began. Israel has said around 240 hostages are currently held in Gaza. Their plight has galvanized Israeli support for the conflict, despite growing international concern for Palestinian civilians. Gaza's 2.3 million population remains stuck under an Israeli military siege, which has so far killed thousands of civilians in Gaza. I'm Karen Chamas.
Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba Thursday rejected any calls for talks with Russia amid the Russian invasion of Ukraine. In a statement posted to his account on X, the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, Kuleba said those who argue that Ukraine should negotiate with Russia now are either uninformed or misled, or they side with Russia and want Putin to take a pause before an even larger aggression. Kuleba said Ukraine should not and will not fall into this trap. The Kremlin said Wednesday it would engage in talks. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said his side will not participate in negotiations until Russia has withdrawn all its troops. This is VOA News. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken Thursday condemned what he said was the growing and dangerous military cooperation between North Korea and Russia, following reports that Pyongyang is supplying weapons for Moscow's war in Ukraine. South Korea's top spy agency believes North Korea has sent more than 1 million artillery shells to Moscow since the beginning of August, which it says amounts to roughly 2 months' worth of supply for Russia's war. In return, Blinken said Russia is providing technology and support for North Korea's military programs, though he did not elaborate. Speaking to reporters in Seoul Thursday following a meeting with South Korean Foreign Minister Park Jin, Blinken said it was a matter of deep concern for both nations.
This is something that we're watching very, very closely, very, very carefully. And of course, we have real concerns about any support for its for North Korea's ballistic missile programs, for its nuclear technology, for its space launch capacity. And as we said earlier, that support would be in clear violation of multiple Security Council resolutions.
Hollywood actors entered a strike early Thursday after their union reached a tentative agreement with major studios. Reuters correspondent Diane To reports.
Hollywood actors were celebrating the end of their months-long strike in the early hours of Thursday after their union SAG-AFTRA reached a tentative deal with major studios valued at more than $1 billion. The second of two industry strikes this year took 118 days to resolve, as performers demanded higher pay in the streaming TV era and protection from being replaced by AI-generated digital replicas. SAG-AFTRA said the agreement involves a new 3-year contract that includes raises in minimum salaries and a new streaming participation bonus. It also provides protections against unauthorized use of images generated by artificial intelligence. The union's chief negotiator, Duncan Crabtree Ireland, said the deal will make a long-term difference for actors.
The giant pandas that lived at the U.S. Smithsonian's National Zoo in Washington were returned to China Wednesday. VOA's Veronica Balderez-Iglesias has this report.
The giant panda program in the U.S. began in 1972 with the arrival of Xin Xin and Lin Lin. In 1984, when the giant panda was declared an endangered species, Beijing began landing bears instead of gifting them. 10-year agreements with a price tag of up to $10 million were put in place. The success of breeding and other conservation efforts in U.S. zoos, however, should not be overlooked, some analysts say. The zoos have helped improve the species' status from endangered to vulnerable, but others say it is time for a new strategy. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.